found in the written word. When you hold your word, to see Jesus, even as he sees us in himself. Today, he's glorified, even as we're edified. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, we're looking at supernatural help. Hallelujah. Lost count of the track or the session. Yeah, this is session 4. Right? 4, okay. Hope to round up either today or tomorrow, next week. That's your work. So I told them. I told us that how we read our Bible is very important. Hallelujah. How we read our Bible is very important. A good Bible student must pay the utmost diligence. Yeah, so people pick up while growing up in studying the Bible is that division, that dichotomy we have as regards calling the Bible Old and New Testament. What we think one testament, one part of the Bible is old. And I told us, here's the dilemma. The dilemma is the fact that growing up as a young child, younger believer, attended Sunday school. Sunday school is a section, it's like children church. But it's called Sunday school there. None of Sunday school in the morning, church is in the afternoon. Amen. So we were told, I got born again, to be told that I don't need some sections of the Bible. All I needed was Matthew to Revelation. Amen. I shouldn't read the other part, it's not for me, it's God. Ever. I want to get to believe that. So in my head, it was God. So I went to get the Gideon Bible. Gideon Bible. And all the time I came to church, and they told me, well, lift your Bible, and I lifted up my Gideon Bible. Matthew to Revelation plus Proverbs and Psalms. And when I lifted it up, they said I was carrying a razor, not a sword. I was confused. Why? He said, because a sword is Genesis to Malachi. I mean Genesis to Revelation. But what I have was a razor blade. You cannot tear down a tree. But you said I don't need it. So I went for the one that I needed. Did you see that? There's that dichotomy. Where you are told, oh, you don't need to read Nahum. Nahum is Nahum. Amen? You are told, don't read Zechariah. Don't read Ezekiel. They are gone. We are now New Testament. The old is gone. Oh, that's wrong. Hallelujah. That's wrong. Emphatically wrong. It's wrong. You can't read your Bible like that. That this part is well. Amen. It's right. Because Genesis to Malachi, like I've shown us, is not called Old Testament. What is called the New Testament is the Genesis to Malachi. Was that what we said? So rather, Genesis to Malachi is called New Testament. Now what is called now? I said you must subject words to the verbiage of their world. Now when they say something is new, we said is that word renewed, right? Is that word renewed? So what is called New Testament is actually God renewing His testament, right? And as we say, now God renewing His testament or His covenant, did you see that? To restate it. So it's not like it's new in their world doesn't mean brand new. It means I'm restating something. Hallelujah. So, what is an example of New Testament? Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is Deuteros Nomos. Second law. Second covenant. New covenant. Did you see that? Amen. New covenant. Something like that. That's an example. So, God gave them His covenant where? In Exodus. They broke it in Numbers. God restates it again in where?
the church. Isn't that God renews his covenant? Amen. He came to Abraham. He spoke to Abraham. He got to Isaac. He restated it. New covenant. Did you see that? He stated it again. To Jacob, he restated it again. Did you see that? To Israel, he did it again. So, new is used for to restate something. Amen. 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 It doesn't mean brand new all the time. Hallelujah. So when it says New Testament, it means Renewed Testament. And where will you find it? In the Old Testament books. Now, we subjected ourselves to the use of Old Testament books for reference. Not because it is called Old Testament. We subjected it to Old Testament books. This echoing. We subject reference. Hallelujah. For reference. Glory to God. But I said, as a church, we'll stop calling it Old Testament, anything Old Testament at all. Rather, what is called Old Testament was their response to God's Testament, which is what? Unbelief. That's what we said. So, Old Testament will be their response. Right? Their response to what God has said, which is unbelief. That will now warrant the what? The use, the giving of the shadows. We'll look at all that as we get into Moses' law in a couple of weeks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, how you read is important. Matthew 1:1. Now, here's how Matthew opens up. He opens up in such a way that you don't just read his writing, his materials alone. He says, the book of the Genesis of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He's writing about the incarnation as I've said to us all the time, and he calls it what? You have to read it from the Genesis. There is that. You have to go to Genesis. Don't get detached. Don't get detached at all. The book of the Genesis of Jesus Christ, he calls it the son of David, the son of Abraham. So when you see son of David, the son of Abraham, what does that show you? Deity. That Jesus is deity. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. But yet son of David, son of who? Abraham. And I told you, whenever you have that phrase, son of, right? Son of. It's an Old Testament book's verbiage. So you have to go back to the what? To the origin of the word, which is within the 39 books, to see that when God makes that statement, son, the son of the woman, is where you have the word seed. Do you get me? So it's first a seed. They say the son of the woman. So seed is called son. Do you see that? The seed of the woman. So it is called son. So I say you must put word within the cultural context of their world. Right? Cultural connotation. So seed is used for son. And when God makes that statement, or makes that sentence, the seed of the woman, or the seed, to thy seed, it means it is actually referring to God himself, and he's the one choosing this lineage. So God himself following or choosing a lineage to come true. Hallelujah. So when you find son of Abraham or son of David, son of Abraham, it means this will be God through the lineage of man. I said that to us. Hallelujah. So Jesus is God. Amen. And he wrote it well for you to see that Jesus is God. In Matthew 28, Jesus himself said, all authority have been given to me in heaven and in the earth. So go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So he said, I am with you always. That's Jesus saying he is God. Hallelujah. I am. That I am fact of scriptures. Amen. Ego man. Hallelujah. I am with you. I am with you with me. He's God. Amen. So Jesus is God, is not an aside. Jesus is God, is our firm belief. Hallelujah. Mark 1. Mark also opens up with the use of the word Alkeoma. So the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning, Alkeoma, used for Genesis. You can say the Genesis of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written. Now, He now tells you how to read his book. He's about to write about John. And he says, it's written before, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now, I've also told you, the way they wrote is that they will write in shorthand. Right? They write in shorthand. So that means Mark is reading a whole full book. But okay, I said they'll write in shorthand or put it in context. They'll write in subject matters, right? So what he has just done is to pick a subject matter, and he expects you to, is it to go and read that verse in Malachi or read everything? Read everything, right? So remember, I've also said to you, you don't read in chapters and verses. Right? Because Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses. Get the teaching on revelation of God. Amen. Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses. I've said that to you. Right? Bible was written in paragraphs. Paragraphs. Chapters and verses just started a few years ago. Amen. In fact, the first English translation of Bible wasn't written in verses and chapters. Hallelujah. Did I say that to Ross? Have I said that to Ross in church? Or is that a woman? It's not a woman. We're not paying attention. I personally put it in the literature of God. Even though I didn't get into details that I did it, like I did in Wima, but I said it. This is it. In fact, I gave dates. I gave dates. Hallelujah. You know the gospel? I gave you the exact time. But in the 16th century, that Bible was now put in verses and chapters. Hallelujah. And by we. But wasn't it? So you don't subject your reading of Bible to chapters and verses. So what I will do is to write it in subject matter. So he said, like in verse 2, he said, I send my messenger before thy face, which I prepare thy way before thee. Right? Now, he expects you to go back and reread. And when you go back to reread when he's writing for you, you will see that what Malachi was talking about was two messengers. Amen. One of the messenger there, who is God himself. Do you see that? So the first messenger is God himself. Now the second messenger will now be John. So John is now the messenger's messenger. Malachi chapter 3. Let's quickly go. Let's see how to read our Bibles. Now you don't miss it. Malachi 3. Now watch it, verse 1. Now here's the subject matter he picked. He said, behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Did you see that? Right? But he's not telling you to just pick that alone. Look at it. He says, and the Lord will be sick. So he writes for you to see that, see, Jesus is God. You know what, as he has called in verse 1, Mark has called in verse 1 that the Son of God, right? He now goes further to now bring out John, that John will be the forerunner of God. So he goes to Malachi 3. He says, behold, I sent my messenger, he shall prepare the way before me. Now says, and the Lord will be sick. Can you see? So that means they expected a Messiah, right? The Lord would yet see, right, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, hear the Lord of hosts. Did you see that? So, who is the Lord referred to as? The messenger of the covenant. So, did you see two Malak there? Two messengers? Right, two Malak. So, who is John? The messenger of the messenger. Did you see that? So he writes for you to see that, hey, who John is forerunning is called the Lord. And he is the messenger of the covenant. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Remember, I told you, when God delivers his message himself, he is called the angel. Did I say that to us? The Malak. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But verse 2, but who may abide the days of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire, like a fuller soul. So he's now describing the Lord. Did you see that?
For he said there will be the messenger of the messenger, who is John. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. So it's right for you to see that John is the messenger of the Lord, making you see that Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So how do you read? He's telling you how to read. You must read together with the 39 books. Did you see that? You must read together with the 39 books. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Luke. I now keep Luke for a while, but let's look at Luke today. So my father has been now taken in hand to set in order declaration of those things which are most surely believed amongst us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitness and were ministers of the word. So I said, Luke, give that disclaimer that he wasn't there. Right? He wasn't there. Right? Mark doesn't do that. Though Mark wasn't there, but Mark is giving Peter's eyewitness account. So it's said that Mark's writing or Mark's synoptic is Peter's account. Do you get me? So, but Luke says, I wasn't there. Right? But what he's going to write, he heard it. He got it from those who were ministers of the word. You see that? He called them ministers of the word. So that means what Luke is writing was from his teaching notes. You see that? From his touch notes. You say, oh, this is it. That's what I'm writing. Hallelujah. So he called those whom he got it from eyewitness and ministers. So as ministers of the word, where would they be writing from? Where would they be teaching them from? The 39 books, right? Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. And it shows us he was writing to a Gentile audience. The same shoot from the same books. Hallelujah. He's writing to a Gentile audience with the same Jewish book. So that means the Bible cuts across any kind of race. Amen. I hear someone say, no, you cannot be using white man's religion to teach us traditional things. I don't understand. What kind of nonsense is that? Amen. They call Bible Christianity white man's tradition. What kind of saying nonsense? Amen. Amen. Luke was writing to Theophilus, a Gentile guy, and he wrote from Genesis to Malachi. Did you see that? Amen. So the Bible is suitable for any kind of person. Suitable. Don't try to not say, you won't find anything in the Bible. Let's look at Quran. No, look Quran. Let's look at the some people do that. They are magical. I don't know how people do that. That mixing. That's concussion. You die. Can you say that? You are reading from the Bible and you're interpreting it into Quran. Very soon, don't worry, when the Hindus have their own material, you start reading it into Hindu. Reading into Quran, how? How? No, how? I could see. Don't pause. Let them hear it. Now, I was talking to an Islamic person a while ago, who said, we are from Abraham, and we are not from them. I was very frank. You guys didn't come from there. Like, no, we are Ishmael. I said, you can't use this issue. That's what they told me. Come, do your history. Not from there at all. Why are you taking back to Ishmael? I'm telling you. You just wanted to have relevance so they make you believe that information. So we have a mission. Let's dig down together. Let's not for me. You better not send yourself. Amen. So where were you all three?
All three. Did you know that lady?
Even the Bible is only different between me and you is Jesus. There's no difference. There is no similarity. That is Isaac in our Bible. I said, you people go to Egypt. So how did you get it? Because Ishmael and I know wandered away. He was driven out.
So go and look for another thing to come and tell me.
Amen.
I'm about to look for where we.
Nonsense. Amen.
But we can still talk. We are still friends. But in that part, don't blame us.
Amen.
Don't ever do that. You know, just like Jesus, you can say, we know who we serve.
Continue.
Are you with me?
Amen. So John, in the beginning was the Word, God, and the Word was God.
Now, what John has said is that thing is telling them that the God of Israel is who is now Jesus. That the Word became flesh and dwelt with us. So it says Jesus is God in the scriptures. That's what he said. He calls him the Dabba Yahweh. The Dabba. The visible reality of God within the Old Testament books. He said, he is Jesus. Glory to God. So a good Bible student will have to read this Bible well and not get detached. So when John 2 said, in the beginning was the Word, he expects you to go back and read the Word from Genesis to Malachi. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. So don't get detached. So a good student will not be detached. Hallelujah. Will not be detached. A good student is a good reader. Did we say that? Right? A good student is a good reader. And a good reader is not the one that reads headline. Newspaper. Hallelujah. Not the one that reads newspaper. Glory to God. Just read headline. Whenever I say this, I remember a story. Always. I guess I'll share it with us. About how his father used to be the king of his staff. So he went, what do they call these guys that, elders, elders from outside, but there they have a name, they call them, so elders, was with him, and he carried newspaper. He turned the newspaper upside down. Yeah. And then was now reading headline that was not there. You know, or just carrying it on the hand and say, was that in job? Was this on TV? And he was there. And I wanted to say, what you are thinking is up. The father just gave me time from there. And then you're too quiet. You try. Some people are like that. Have you seen people in front of newspaper stands? Because Pama was youngest player, people are angry. Why wasn't it Saka? Can it be Saka? I said, no, tell me. Say you guys called him Pama FC. And yet you don't want him to give him the best. So, you see some people, they just read the headline, they didn't even go there. They say, Saka lost to Pama. Nobody even read to understand what it is. That is where the fight is. How can you be arguing? They didn't read, just headline. And you know the funny truth? Headline is a journalist's caption point. How visible your headline is will tell whether that material will sell. Yeah? What am I going to do? Will tell whether that material himself. It's not a joke. And you know what? People were arguing. One day I'm walking past a newspaper stand. So people were arguing Messi and Ronaldo. People are making their money. Ronaldo said that they're Messi. Messi said that. Yeah, you're practically demonstrating it. Okay, can Messi do like this? Dear minister that I respect and still respect,
took up the headline of the newspaper.
I can tell you the truth, he didn't read it.
And then he just said, and what the person was writing was a sarcasm. And at the end of the paper, the person wrote it is sarcasm. And this dear minister took it up on his pulpit and was talking about it. He didn't read it. It was just evident that he didn't read it. I just want to say what he said. It's not you don't know the person, but for sarcasm. Amen. Sarcasm. For sarcasm. And the thing shredded for a long time. And yet, the person that wrote that editorial wrote it there that it was sarcasm. That is what not reading well can cause. Hallelujah. Amen.
Just watch. Today now we go to Lucifer's stand, we'll be hearing,
you see finished fury. Bitter. But you know the funny truth.
There was no kill. It was an unanimous decision.
Amen. But today, people will be, let me just say, Yusuf defeated Fury. They didn't watch it because it was fought overnight. People will start talking nonsense. What are you following? That is what not reading in detail can cause. Amen. 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 So he's very final. You'll read in detail. Another kind of reading people have is called biased reading. And this is even more dangerous than glance reading. Biased reading is when you have a mindset. You are going to the Bible to read a notion, a biased notion already. You are biased. You just need the Bible to back it up. There's something back it up. You just need the Bible to back it up. It's not Bible, it's not for backup.
Amen.
Bias. Want a proof.
I know you can prove anything with anything.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
And the last kind of reading, which is the most important kind of reading, and very vital, is holistic reading, right? Holistic reading, which Jesus used in questioning the Pharisees. Anagnos will read again, read well, pay attention to details. And I say holistic reading means systematic reading, right? You will read systematically. That's it. We began looking at our health. God as our health. God as our health. And we said God created man how to be dependent on him, right? Right? God created man to be dependent on him. We said that, right? To be dependent on him. And then we also saw the deceit of the serpent. What is the deceit of the serpent? That the deceit of the devil, which is the serpent, the devil. Now the serpent is not snake, it's actually the devil. That is an imagery, right? So what is that deceit? Providing man independence, right? Independence away from God, which is actually not independent, right? Right? Did I tell you that?
And there's nothing called independent.
Amen. Independence away from God is dependence on the devil. There's no sitting on the fence. And that is why I said to us that what thing called a TV is a scam. Satan is scamming a TV. Amen. See? As different levels of it, as a scam. So God made man to be dependent on him, and Satan offers man independence away from God, which is dependent on the devil. Right? Glory to God. And how we Genesis 1 verse 1 into 2. Look at Genesis 1. When look at how God made man. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. The heaven and the earth. Right? So what is Satan's independence? The earth was without form and void. That is independent. I told you to put that down in your Bible, right? Genesis 1-2. When it says, your eyes will be open. That's Genesis 1-2. Away from God. Hallelujah. Away from God. It was the earth without form and void. So without God, man is tohu abohu, confusion. Tohu bohu, confusion. And darkness was upon the surface of the sea. So that means away from God is confusion, disorder, darkness away from God. But you know what? That said, the Spirit of the Lord move upon the surface of the water. So this is the yearnings of God's Spirit in all the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Convincing the heart of men. And God said, let there be light. Now I told you what is there is I am light, right? I am light. God calls himself light. I am light. That means God is saying the answer to man's problem is what? In the supernatural. Supernatural. We call it the light supernatural, right? Light supernatural. And there's the dark supernatural. So light supernatural. Light. And God saw the light that it was good. So it was good. It's not good for man to be alone. God saw the light, it was good. What is the light? The solution to man being alone. Did you see that? Did you see that? God saw the light, it was good. Oh, good. Good is used for what God does. What God is involved in. Amen. So when God looked at man and said, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be without God. The good is God. It's not good for man to be without God. So I will make it and help me comparable to him. Help me is God. It's us. God is man. It's us. Who said it? So that's how God created man. To be dependent on him. Hallelujah. Amen. God, man is created to always need help from God. Hallelujah. Amen. So that away from God is what unbelief, sin, darkness, confusion. Hallelujah. I would say this is the reason for voodoo. Right? Jazz. Men want to get back to God. There's that yearning. There's that emptiness, that void in every man. For God. For God. Amen. For God. And because they are away from God, they try to get into voodoo. Do you that? Sin breeds that. Hardness of heart does that. So, Moses will call the children of Israel stiff-necked because of their unbelief, right? God came to speak to them. They said, we cannot hear you. Say, Lord, we don't want to hear you. That is rejection. They rejected God face to face. People haven't seen it that way. They rejected God. God appeared to them. And they say, Moses, go and hear God and tell it to us. We don't want to hear. They rejected God. So Moses went up. Now that rejection of God, what did it lead to? When Moses was up, they began to make a graven image. You see that? There's that void for God. And that's what leads men toward voodoo. Rebellion. Amen. What are you going to do? Voodoo. Jazz. What did I say? Drunkenness. Some people are like, oh, you jazz, I don't know you. You just let me get high. High your voice. Amen. Some people get into smoking weed. It now becomes an habit. But these things are first what void. That hunger and taste for God. And I said to us, our role as believers is to help them channel their taste the right way. Give them God first. Hallelujah. Give them God. What are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. What are you following me here? What are you following me here? Okay. So give them God. We looked at all this. And then we said the new birth is God's help, right? Right? Did you see that? That man cannot help himself in darkness. So we saw that from Egypt. Man is in bondage. Man cannot help himself. So it's only God. Amen. So the new birth is what? God's help. We saw that. It's God's help. Hallelujah. So that means in the new birth, God has helped us, right? Right? God has helped us from where? From Egypt. Is that from Egypt? Egypt is what? Darkness, thank you. Egypt is unbelief. From Egypt to the land. What is the land?
himself God. Exodus 6:24-6. Hallelujah. Amen.
Through himself.
So God has helped us through himself. Colossians 1:13. From verse 12, it says, in the light, he has delivered us from darkness. Hallelujah. And has translated us to the kingdom of his Son.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So the question is,
does the believer's help only happen in the new birth alone, when he gets born again?
This is only when the man is just born again that he has his help. You don't need any help anymore. Some people are like that. What then? It sounds good. Amen.
I don't need help anymore. I've been helped already.
I've been helped in the new birth. I don't need help anymore.
Rather, I'm the helper.
You are the helper. How can you be the helper? Amen. You say, God is no longer the helper.
I am the helper.
But I've just changed your name to India Husky. Listen.
I'm the helper.
There's nothing that you do, you know? Say, God is not the healer. I am the healer.
Come, bring your head. Let me knock
it. You are the healer. Amen. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Those things are not right. You can't say you are the healer, but you can't say you are the healer.
Hallelujah. Okay, follow me.
Okay.
God is the helper. Glory to God.
Amen. So can we still look up to God for help as believers? Can we? Right? Is there still an ongoing ministry of help from God towards us even while we are born again? Is there still an ongoing ministry? So we say, it's finished. It's finished on the cross. Everything is finished. You don't need any help. It is done on the cross. You don't need anything. It's done on the cross. You don't need to pray. It's done on the cross.
Just have prayed all my prayer. 10 minutes. Amen. How can you do that? Amen.
It's finished on the cross.
No.
Amen. Is there still an ongoing ministry of help from the Lord?
Yes.
Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Quickly. Hebrews 13. Look at verses 5. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. He says, for I have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, what shall men do unto me? The Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. Believe us all. The Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hallelujah. I will never. How long? Forever. Hallelujah. So that means God is my helper forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, God is my helper. Glory to God. Do you know, I was contemplating something some days back, and I said something to myself. To myself, not to someone. I said this to myself. I said, we could receive the same kind of help they received in Bible days today. Those days are not God. Those things are not God. Some of us in our head somewhere will think those supernatural stars are God. No, they are not. We can receive the same kind of help and even much more in our days today. We can. Hallelujah. And the reason why it looks as if it's fading away in our days is because we are now talking less about the supernatural in our world. Amen. So people don't even know how to even extend the supernatural. Some people don't even know how to make the supernatural happen. Some people don't even know how to extend the miraculous. Amen. Amen. I love what Bro Hagin used to say. Papa Hagin though. Papa Hagin. I don't want those ahead of me to call, can call Bro Hagin. Papa Hagin used to say this. He said, when the things of the spirit are not taught, they will be lost. He said something there in one of his materials that I read years back. He said, if the Holy Ghost put on a red hat and walk on the street, that people won't recognize him. because people are talking less about. People are not talking more today than what about money message, about ownership. And there's now less focus on the supernatural. There's now less focus on the power of God. There's now less focus on the things of the Spirit. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No. We're loud in it. Hallelujah. We'll be loud about it. We're loud about it. Sometimes it's not that it's wrong to do proper Bible interpretation. Proper Bible interpretation is what we are called to do. But you know, in proper Bible interpretation, as you interpret, you will see the supernatural. You will see power. Don't play down on it. Amen. Like I was saying, when it gets to Acts 2 experience, you know, many of them usually say, oh, the rushing mountain wind was how they ran. It's good to explain it like that. It's not that the explanation is wrong, but you can't rule out the fact that they saw things. You can't rule out the fact that they heard things. You can't rule out the fact that they had encounters. You can't rule out. You can't rule out the fact that they had drop. You can't rule out the fact that they had tongues of fire. Amen. Amen. Don't talk less of them. Loudly. Amen. Amen. Loudly. Don't talk less about the power. The power gift. No, loudly. Glory to God. God is our helper. God is our helper. God is our helper. Hallelujah! You know, I say it always. God is my helper. I've been saying it since. I say it every day. I said it this morning before going to church. God is my helper. I woke up this morning and I prayed and said, God, you are my helper. Amen. I said, God, you are my helper. You are my helper in every application of life, in ministry, in my work, in everything I do. Lord, you are my helper. Hallelujah. I say it every day. 2 weeks ago, I started this week. I've been saying, God is my helper. God is my helper. Amen. My helper. All the time. Never will I go above God's help. Never. I always need God's help. I don't know about you, but I always need God's help. I will never outgrow it. I need God's help. I have His help, and I'm walking in His help. Every day, I need God's help. I see it and I walk in the light of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Look at Psalms 121. Psalms 121. Amen. Verses 1. It says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, for whence cometh my help? You know, I said this to us last week, and some people will think, we are believers now. We now know the truth. We are not like David, who doesn't know the reality of God. David is always going to look for help from the hill. That we don't look to the hill, we look inside. We don't look to the hill, we don't look to the mountain. Come on, this is the same David that said, the Lord said to my Lord. Amen. This is the same David that said, the Lord said, He will not allow His Holy One to see corruption. And he was referring to Jesus. That means David has what? He knows what. Amen. David is not, I don't want to mention any denomination, but David is not. Amen. David knows what? He knows what? He knows me. Amen. He knows me. You know, today people think you don't know Hebrew and Greek, you don't know what. He knows Hebrew. Hebrew is his language. Moses said, I will look up to the hills. It's you that don't understand what Moses is. I mean, what David is saying, rather. Because in their world, as I said to us, hills and mountains are used for what? The supernatural. In fact, when someone is going to the mountain, it will be said that he has gone to seek God. That's what was said about Moses. When he goes to the mountains, he has gone to see God. So the mountains is used for heaven. I showed us that, right? In Deuteronomy, it's just for heaven. In fact, the way Moses wrote about the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2. He wrote about the Garden of Eden
from a, he wrote about it using a mountain description. He described it as a hill, like a mountain. So he says it in Genesis chapter 2. Watch it. Genesis 2. Verse 10. So that's how he describes the Garden of Eden, something on the hill. Chapter 2, verse 10. He says, and rivers went out of Eden to water the garden, and from hence it was parted and became four. This is that. I'll explain the four as waters that went into the nations. Now he says, rivers, what's that verse says? Rivers went out of Eden. Now that is the word there, river, that word went out there, is that Hebrew word for it went down from Eden. So it meant to see Eden as high above, and then water comes from Eden down. You see that? Amen. So Eden was written with a mountain or hill-like scenery, and it's called the Eden of God. You see that? The Eden of God, the Garden of God. Don't you shouldn't miss that. You shouldn't miss it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the psalmist in Psalms 121 is that I will look up to the hills. I will look up to the supernatural, right? Right? I will look up to heaven, right? And can we also put it, I will look up to Eden, right? Eden, right? Can we put it, I will look up to God. Hallelujah. For where cometh my help? He answers, my help! My help cometh from the Lord, from Yahweh, which made the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. Watch what the help is about. Look at verse 3. It says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Oh, glory to God. He said, behold, he that keepeth Israel, that slumbereth not sleep. He said, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He said, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. Forevermore. So you see God's help. Amen. You see? Is he talking about natural affairs there? You see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God never sleeps. Amen. God is my help. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. God watches over me. He watches over his own. I am his own. God is my helper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Woo, glory to God. You know, sometimes some people tend to try to separate it. They try to look at how to separate it. That is what I mean. You know, sometimes we can be so good and so professional with our job. And I'm saying this because many of us are walking into, getting into working class, getting into doing things, you are leaving school. Some people, even those are in school. Some people are so professional that they think they are too good in reading. This I have been reading. Amen. Sometimes you won't always have an answer because I don't listen over time. So this is how to do it. I don't need any help. This is how I can do it. Amen. But you know what? God is our help. It doesn't change the fact that God is our help. So many times we can be so professional with our job. Very professional. I'm not telling you not to be professional. Very professional with your job. What are we doing? Okay. We can be very professional with our jobs. Right? And you need to hear this. Very professional. I said, no, this one is job. Let's separate. Some people have heard of them, let's separate Christianity from job, from professionality. I'm not telling you not to be professional. You be professional with your job, right? But you know, don't close down, don't close it Don't close down on God's help. Then. Hallelujah. Don't say, I already know it, so let me close. No. No. I give you guys, an example of myself. I'm going to give two more. Now, I was moving, so I was a micro guy. Like the banking sector, no micro guys, micro. But I needed to be fast with my career. Because I saw that there was no career path with micro. So I wanted the SME. So I switched to SME. I was a champion in micro. Like champion. Now go to a bigger scale where you now have to fight with the commercial banks. When I joined, I didn't have clients. I come to the street of honor. People of customer for shop, no shop I didn't enter, no customer. Nothing was forthcoming. So I just remember something then. How my mom used to when she goes to market and then she plays over her shop and then says things like they will come. And then also another scripture that struck when Jesus met Peter. Peter was a professional fisherman. But all night he toiled. Professional and couldn't get a single fish. So Jesus showed up and said, cast the net this way. You know, from looking at the economic indices and weighing it side by side with the high inflation rate that is befalling our nation, there is no way a fish will gravitate into this part of the water at this time of year to be able. That there's no way a fish will be able to gravitate to this part of the water so that it can be caught. You know, you are giving all the economic indices. And you are saying things like, the economic situation of the country. There's no way this will happen and that will happen and X, Y, Z. You know all the indices. You know everything. You know all the indices. You know, you plotted the graph. You look at the topology, you say no, according to Jesus. But Jesus said, put your net that way. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know what he did? He didn't hesitate. He cast his net that way. Hallelujah. And there was a heavy cast. Heavy cast. And the net began to tear. And what did Peter say? Oh Lord, we are not worthy of thee. Did you do that? He called him Lord. We are not worthy of thee. Glory to God. Glory to God. Peter was a professional. So I just said, that day I just said, Lord, with what happened to Peter, the same will happen to me. Lord, I trust you that they will gravitate. And in that same month, I had them in their numbers. Glory to God. Had them in their numbers. Don't say, according to, people will not at this point of the fact that is, stop nonsense. Amen. Stop it. Glory to God. God is my help. See, help many times is not just for good things alone to come. Help can also shield you from evil. Amen. Shield you from evil. Shield you from evil. Even on your job. Hallelujah. My pastor shared something one time. He said how they wanted to go into a deal. A big deal. Big deal. That involved a whole lot of money. But it wasn't just comfortable. You know? I said, no. The indices shows that, you know, there are some times like that. It has happened to me that I didn't even listen to those indications and then I got burnt. To me, on the job. And that's why I said you should, yes, you are professional, but there are some things you have born of God. Amen. There's a transaction that I wanted to do one time. Everything on paper was crystal clear good. You know, when you check bank statement, bam. You check this, bam. All credit checking was okay, but was just restless inside. I can't figure. I just told myself I was just being paranoid. I was just being into, and I, right there, I just said, allow it. And said, everything was fine. I saw the parents would come and park his car. Brought unregistered car, parked. Everything, the indications was nice. So I was trying to deal with that, to come and park. Didn't get it, but everything was good and okay. Well, you know what? That transaction suffered. That transaction cost me my job. That transaction made them ask me to resign. Can't drop a resignation. I didn't pay attention. But everything was okay on paper. Do you know when the auditor speaks that file? They check the file, they ransack it, everything was crystal clear. So you can't point it to anything. But it cost me something. Something I could have avoided. Did you see that? Amen. That's how God helps. Amen. That's how God helps us. He helps us that way. Amen. Just listen to me. Amen. Amen. Sometimes it might not be according to the economic indices. What we are going to do? Paul was in the boat and they were taking him, I guess, to see, I can't remember whether it was Agrippa now. So on the way, Paul said, I perceive that, Acts 26 or 27, said, I perceive that this voyage, something's going to happen to this ship and there will be great loss. But you know what? They went to meet captain. No, nothing can happen. The way, you know, according to, what about the people that do climate? According to them, the car, everything is okay. Nothing can happen. They can't be troublous. Now, take note. This is what I'm telling you is different from fear. There's fear and there's this. I've taught you about understanding the knockings of the spirit. Not the thing, you come and enter a plane and you are scared. You say, maybe it's God. I slap your left knee. It's not. Right, there's a difference between fear and this. These are knockings. Right? It's different from fear. It's different from anxiety. Anxiety is not the leading of the spirit. Have I told you that? I've taught you that before. Anxiety is not the leading of the spirit at all. Fear is not the leading of the spirit. I'm scared. Pastor, I'm scared. could it be God? How can it be God? When there's fear. There's no fear. There's no fear in the leading. Because fear is darkness. Amen. But you just have that login. But you can't find anything on it. So when Paul said, I perceive, meaning you could sense it in the spirit. That this you sense in your spirit. You sense it in the spirit. And when they met the captain said, never. This climate, nothing will happen. He doesn't just want us to take him to bed with that great pastor. But you know, as they went further, where they came, they lost everything aside their lives. You see that? They lost what? Everything. Glory to God. So many times, it's good to understand your profession and be professional. But beyond that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You have checked everything. They've been seen news, you've seen updates. The update, the thing is clear. Just keep the trade and bish. You are looking at, you look at your lot size. This is going to give me like 30% peak. And when you have plotted it, Zujaba can hear you. They just are nodding inside. Don't take the trade now. They just are not it. Don't take it now. Chill. But you know when you chill, that thing, the peep will drop. You know, there are sometimes You are saying if I take it, you don't need to use your number 5 lot size or 1 lot size. You now grow your lot size to 30. Just want to take it. But they just done nothing. Don't joke with them, just nothing. You might not have anything to back it up in terms of what you have seen based on your profession. Right? But don't joke with it. Just, you know, learn to wait. Amen. Just chill. Because if you stay waiting a bit, if you stay waiting a bit, you will see why you have such nothing. Amen. Learn to wait. Amen. I'm teaching you, no, I'm not talking leading of the spirit. Amen. But learn to wait as a believer. You will die. I'm telling you both from experience and with everything. You know, learn to wait. Most times we want to say, no, according to prudential guidelines. God bless you with your prudential guidelines. Neither am I saying you should be professional. Be professional or beyond professionalism. Right? It's the leading of the Spirit. Beyond professionalism is God as your helper. Hallelujah. 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 Look at Isaac in a foreign land. In a foreign land. Where there was famine. And Isaac, the Lord said to him, stay there. There was famine. He said to him, stay there. And he stayed. Amen. In famine, you say, no. Everybody is dabbing. Gravitating upward. Going to the north, he says, stay there. He dug the well. When there was famine, water came and they came to cover it. He went to dig another one. He kept digging. Till he became exceedingly rich. I'm talking about riches now, but I'm telling you about the result. God is your helper. Learn to listen to God's spirit. Hallelujah. This is a far deviation from what I want to tell you today. But, you know, I'm led to talk this way. Hallelujah. I'm led to flow this way. I'm led to talk to you about things like this. Never should you stop trusting God. Never should you stop listening to His Spirit. Never. I told us, God leads us primarily how? Via the inward witness. Hallelujah. Via the inward witness. I know we're going to still look at it. I told you we'll look at it after series, I know. But God leads us primarily via the inward witness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
God is our help. God is our help. God is our help. Hallelujah. Even in your body. Even in your body. God is our help. Glory to God. Look at Mark 9. Let me show you something in Mark 9. Then I'll say some things about our bodies. Mark 9. Mark 9. You see, sometimes, because of drugs, and sometimes what has happened to people that are loved ones to us, we tend to think the healing power is not real. No, the healing power is real. Our Lord. Amen. 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 God is my help means I can trust Him for my healing. And the healing of my loved ones. Mark 9. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Mark 9, 14. He says, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and scribes questioning them. And straightway all the people, then, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question are you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teared him, and foameth and garnisheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And this is a clear sign of what? When Luke was explaining, he called it epilepsy. ecclesia. Amen. Amen. And I spoke to thy disciples, and they that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Hallelujah. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw, him, straight away the spirit tore him and fell on the ground and wallowed fully. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. So it's epilepsy. What you can say? Epilepsy. And I love what my friend and I used to say years back, and I keep saying that when you get someone who had epilepsy, you cast out the demon. For the demon. Amen. Just as I cast out the demon. The demon. Don't try to look at it. Look at verse 22. And oftentimes it has cast him into fire and into waters to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and do what? Help us. Amen. Amen. That's the word for thou. Help us. And Jesus said unto me, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And straight away the father of the child cried out and said, he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Hallelujah. When Jesus saw the people, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, take note of what he said. Say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Right? Now, so Jesus had to heal. Now, things you need to see is the fact that when it comes to healing, we trust the Lord for healing. Amen. He helps us. Glory to God. For healing. To help my own. Help us. So God heals us. And God helps us. And he helps us to by healing us. Glory to God. Many times we hear stories of what happened to people. Sometimes how people died of a particular illness or sickness. Sometimes it even happened to our loved ones. And then we think, God doesn't heal. No. God heals us. Amen. God heals us. The sickness attacks your body. I can trust the Lord to heal. That is why it's my help. Hallelujah. This is not saying you shouldn't take drugs. Drugs is good. God and science, they are not in competition. They are not fighting. God doesn't fight with science. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God doesn't fight with science. I've told us that. Even God asked them, is there no balm in Gilead? Somebody say, balm in Gilead is Jesus. Balm in Gilead was a medicine. Amen. Was a drug. Yes. So God doesn't fight drugs. But yet, as a believer, you mustn't depend on drugs. Did you see that? It's good to take drugs. But what if the drugs now fail? And there is no God. Because you don't have... You don't believe God for healing. Amen. So you can't trust drugs. Why you take the drugs? Trust the Lord. Hallelujah. Trust the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trust the Lord. He helps us. He heals our bodies. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Remember I told you, there's the ongoing health ministry of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's ongoing. It didn't end on the cross. It's ongoing. Hallelujah. He helps us. He helps us. He helps us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God always heals me. God always heals me. God always heals me. Always, always, always. I will always trust in Him. I will always trust in Him. Hallelujah. The book of Acts is full of God's help. Into the epistles, full of God's help. Full of God's help. Look at Acts 12. Acts 12, God's help. God's help. God's help. From verse 1. He said, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Now, he killed. So somebody's dead. Right? Somebody is dead. Then he picked Peter, waiting till after Passover. Right? To kill him. Not there is your Bible put Easter, but not Easter. That is just some people doing some funny things. Amen. That's just a translation, translator's bias. To incorporate Easter to what is doing, Easter is not. Amen. Glory to God. So he took Peter to kill him.
Remember that they said, Peter is gone. We saw him kill James. He will kill Peter too, right?
But Luke showed you something that the church did. Hallelujah. In verse 5. Therefore, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer. Did you see that? Was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Did you see that? Prayer was made. Prayer was made. Luke shows you that prayer. Hallelujah. They prayed. Well, that was a tough, challenging situation. It looked like a dead end. But we saw he killed James. He has killed one of the apostles. Did you see that? He has killed one of the apostles. Now he took Peter. This looks like a dead end. Peter is gone. Amen. Peter is gone. Right? But what did the church do? They prayed. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. The church prayed. Making you see that prayer makes it possible for God to act. Prayer makes it possible. I love how Papa Kelly Hagin put it. He said, prayer makes, say God cannot do anything in the earth except men pray. That's how he puts it. God can't do anything except men pray. Hallelujah. So prayer was it. They prayed. Hallelujah. They prayed. They prayed. Hallelujah. Prayer is submitting to God's will. And what happened when they prayed? Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and keepers before the door. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And the chains fell off from his hands. Told him, arise quickly. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, and bind all thy sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, cast thy garment about, which is wear your clothes, and follow me. Can you see? Amen. Amen. And went out and followed him. And wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they passed the fourth and second ward, they came into the iron gate that led into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. When Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know with surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hands of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Mighty help. Did you see that? Mighty help. Glory to God. You can read down to verse 17. Peter got to where the believers were and they were still praying. Did you see that? They kept praying. They kept praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have an angelic help there. An angel came and helped him. Angelic. Spectacular, right? That's spectacular. See that spectacular? Has it stopped happening? Has it stopped happening?
No. It doesn't stop happening.
No matter how you try to cook it up, it hasn't stopped happening.
Yeah?
There are tons of people who have seen angels come to help in kind situations. Hallelujah. It hasn't stopped happening. The only thing is that people have stopped talking about it. Stop teaching about it. And what you don't teach about, right? You won't see it. What you don't believe in, won't happen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it was spectacular. But above spectacular, it is supernatural. Hallelujah. It's supernatural help. Supernatural help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We receive such kind of help in our world today. Supernatural help. We receive such kind of help, angelic help in our world today. We receive it in our lives. We receive it in our families. We receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's supernatural. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. The supernatural doesn't have to be spectacular. Right? I've told you that. The supernatural doesn't have to be spectacular. And take notes. Though the supernatural doesn't have to be spectacular, doesn't mean the spectacular aren't supernatural. Or are not real. Amen. Amen. Someone said, gone are those days where what happened in Egypt. Amen. Sorry, in the wilderness, that the glory of God was so powerful that they couldn't enter. They couldn't enter into the tabernacle. Those things don't happen again. They happen, brother. They happen, brother. They happen, brother. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to teach you that. But they happen. They happen. When you get suspended in such atmospheres, you can't even move. Hallelujah. They still happen. They still happen. Glory to God. Amen. They saw the glory. You say, no, God, on those days, you can't see. You can. Amen. Amen. People are shying away from me. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It still happens. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We should watch what we see on the pulpit. We should watch what we teach. Hallelujah. And what you are learning. There's now more concentration on Facebook, TikTok, Twitter than on the supernatural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's real. Amen. It's real. The supernatural is real. Look at Daniel. Let's see Daniel 3. Daniel 3. This is Daniel before Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel 3. I'm going to be fast now. Verse 16. So, they wanted them to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's image. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer in this matter. Amen. They brought him. They brought them to him. He liked them. Yeah, why guys not obey me? They were not careful to answer. If be so that our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hands, O King. You see that? The God will deliver us. Even if you put us to the furnace, God will deliver us. Now, but if not, now when you use that word there, but if not, it's not saying if God will not deliver us. No, that's not what he's saying. He said, but if not, it means if you do not put us into the burning furnace,
because there was already a threat that whosoever does not bow will be thrown into the burning furnace. Say, but if you don't put us on the burning furnace, we will not still serve your God nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Did you see that? He was crying. Hallelujah. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and from his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, therefore spoke and commanded that they should hit the furnace seven times more than it was. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning furnace. And these men were bound in their coats, their horses, and their hats, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning furnace. Therefore, because of the king's commandment and urgent, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The people that carried them into the furnace died. And threw them. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose in haste and spoke and said unto the counselor, did you not cast three men bound in the midst of the furnace? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And answered and said, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the furnace, and they have no heart. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. God was their help in the furnace. They did that. They didn't die. The men that took them in died. They that were inside the furnace did not die. That is God's help. Hallelujah. That is what? God's help. In a challenging, tough situation. See, I said this to someone. Tough situations happens. It does not stop. Those of you that are saying adults will not scam, they are stupid. Tough situations happen. Don't allow anybody to tell you it can't. It is like, in tough situations. Just like your parents were shielding you when you were small. But they're always in tough situations. Amen. Day and are you forgetting day and night? Did you remember what I told you about day and night? There's always day and night. Night is evil. So the evil and the day are together. Hallelujah. Amen. Challenges will come. We saw that in Matthew 7. The man that hears God's word and does it. It's like a man that built his house on the solid rock. Then the wind comes, right? And when they come, that is the evil day. There's always day and night. I told you, there's always day and night. Day and night. Evil will always come. Does it? Challenges is always there. You can't run away from me. It is always there. Challenges to judge, but you know what? God is my help. Hallelujah. God is my help. You know, you can be bold about it. It doesn't mean that because you say God is your help, the challenges will stop. It's still there. But you know what? God will help you. Hallelujah. God will always help you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He that keepeth Israel never sleeps, doesn't slumber. Hallelujah. God doesn't slumber on my case. God doesn't slumber at all. He doesn't sleep at all. God is my help. Hallelujah. I'm teaching you that. As I walk through life, as I walk through life challenges, it will always come. Somebody was telling me, why do we have to go through challenges? Why did Jesus die? Oh my shield. Why do we have to be that kind of thing? Say, I thought Jesus had died, now we won't have challenges. Jesus has died so that there will be no persecution. Jesus has died. No!
Would that be fair on people who are staying in Maiduguri? When you are saying this, imagine this is your sermon. Amen. You know the guy, right? Imagine this is your sermon. This is your sermon. Jesus has died so that there will be no challenges anymore. You know some people, you can preach it in Lagos and get away with it. The where is your seed? When you sow, you know, you tithe by one tithe. What's a seed?
So you can't say for somebody who is sleeping with one eye closed, one eye open.
Yeah? Because one day their place might be invaded. Like this, like the son of man coming like a thief in the night, they are sleeping. What do you hear? Boom! Everybody stand up. Oya, bush, oya. What? Yes now. How would you now preach that to those kind of believers? I mean, that message is unfair. People are going through challenges. They are running every night. Some of them don't even know who go to their villages anymore. Some of them are in IDP camps. They are feeding them with rubbish. And you are here saying what you are saying. Some people are eating undone beef. Not a joke! When you are here saying what you are saying, don't say that. Don't say that. Amen. You should teach them that God is their help. God is their help. Hallelujah. Because there is challenges. Challenges will always come. Always come. I told you that. About my friend, a pastor friend like mine, who left everything and went to a remote village to stay. One day went to do a crusade and came back, his whole house was burnt down. They burnt his house. Challenges, maybe you offended somebody. Come. Let me slap you. Now you get sense. Can you say that? There are some things you don't see. Hallelujah. Challenges will come. God, challenges will come. But you know what? God is my helper. Hallelujah. Amen. A believer doesn't run away from challenges. A believer knows how to use those challenges to glorify God. Trust in God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's when those songs really matter. Those songs you sing in church alone. It's not for church alone. Sing, trust in the Lord with all my heart. You know you're singing in your dancing. Well, trust in the Lord with all my heart. Tears will be dropping down. He shall direct my path. I trust the Lord with all my heart. And I lean on unto my own understanding, not my ways acknowledge it, and he shall direct my path. You open your eyes, you cannot see any path. For he said, he shall direct my path. Tears will drop. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I trust the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Acts 16. Jesus, oh Jesus, you're so glorious and great, you're so wonderful and marvelous, Jesus, oh Jesus, is in you I find my rest, is in you I find my hope secure, Jesus, oh Jesus. You're so glorious and great. You're so wonderful and marvelous. Hallelujah. Acts 16, verse 18. This is the lady that followed Paul and Silas. And he did many things, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command in the name of the Lord Jesus, come out of her. and she came out that same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of her gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." Now watch this. This was a lie. This was a lie. They cooked up lies. Cooked up lies. Some people say they were preaching the gospel, and look at what they see. Let me tell you the truth. They started lying on him. They lied on Jesus. They lied on the apostles. People can lie. See, people can lie and be crying. I don't know if you understand that everybody apart from you know that it's a lie. But they don't know what they have. No, no, no. Liars, people can lie. Let me not say. Let me just stop it. I see no by the sun. I'm telling you. I see someone lie. You know what consoled me that day? Elderly person, what consoled me was the fact that they lied about Jesus. Knowing me. But see, people was lying. I was crying. For what I know is a lie. Yes, people don't care about it. Even Satan too will shift for you. That's what lies that I say, no. Let me be your apprentice. Tell me about like that. Is that my house? How someone came out? I was lying about the pastor, the whole social media, everybody believed. I didn't say a word. Everybody believed. But it didn't take long. Just a few years, like a year or 2 years ago. Then came out to confess. And it was all your life. For the whole media and the pastor, everyone was saying that was crying. That the pastor raped her. Amen. Amen. But let's continue. Verse 21. Verse 2. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Watch it. They beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, stripes upon them was not like they were drawing, they were doing a tattoo on their body. They flogged them. They flogged them shaking. Many stripes. 24 is the beginning. Amen. So whoever received such a charge tossed them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So they chained them, you know, when you chain someone to the ground, you chain them so that means they can't even move down. They are chained fast in the ground. Chain them. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Did you see that? They prayed. And sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. So, you know, whenever I read this verse, you think what they were singing is, Paul and Silas, they prayed. But they actually prayed. And they sang hymns. Okay, what did they sing? Paul and Silas, they prayed. When they prayed, they sang. And Barachuda. Amen. Barachuda. Amen. Glory to God. But that is not what happened there. But they prayed. Right? And they sang song. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. So that the foundation of the prison was shaking. And immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's bound were loosed. Did you see that? Did you see that? Spectacular, right? Power of God, right? Hallelujah! glory to God. Help came. Help came. Help came. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I have in my notes,
God always shows up. God always shows up. God always shows up. He's our helper. I put it here, he's the master help. Nobody helps like he does. He shows up. Glory to God. Hey, glory to God. God always will show up to help. He will show up to help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't, now something else, very vital as we close. You don't determine how we will help. You don't determine how God will help or the medium he will use. Take it. You don't determine how God will help. You don't determine the medium he will use to help you. But you know what? He will always help you. Hallelujah. Yeah. He will always help you. He will. He will. God will always help. He will always show up. He will always show up. He's a master help. He's the master help. He's the mastino for helping. That is his office. That is he. Hallelujah. He will always help. It doesn't matter what you're going to, God will always show up. He will always show up. He will show up for you. He will show up for your family. He will show up for your loved ones. God will always show up. Hallelujah. Say, God will always show up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you don't determine how he will help you or the medium he will use. But you know what you can do? You can always trust in him. You can trust in him always. Why? Because he will always show up. You can trust in him always because he will always show up. Hallelujah. He will always show up. Woo! He will always show up. He will always show up. God will always show up. No matter how scary that situation is, no matter how bad it looks, God will always show up. Hallelujah. So much in scriptures that we're going to see about God's help by next week as a wrap up. So much we'll see in scriptures is how he also uses human agents. God also uses human agents to help. Amen. God also uses human agents to help. I will see it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll see it and learn. Right? How to receive from them, the human agent, and how we too can be, or how we too can allow God use us to help others. Hallelujah. You have to allow too. Glory to God. God uses human agent and also uses us as human agent to help others. Hallelujah. We'll see that next. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you know what? God always helps. God always helps. God will always show. And what to do when God shows up. Right? How to recognize this is God, true man. See, human agent, like I said to us last week, can also mean use Babalawo. I mean, use Muslim. Use an atheist. God will always show up. Amen? He will always show up. God will use what is available. He will show up. God will show up. God will always show up. He will always. And I will recognize it. I will see it. I will see it. I will recognize it. Receive it. And walk in life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Learn something? Learn something? Amen. Let's run our feet up to thank the Lord. Oh, what a mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah.